What's in your wallet? Uh-oh. Is that a trademark of a corporation? Can I not say that? Will we get fined? Will we get sued? What is in your wallet? We're talking about credit cards here. New credit card rules have gone into effect here in Quebec, and I think it raises a lot of questions about how people treat credit, what role governments have to play in protecting you from credit card companies, if any, and just how far we should go when it comes to that. Real pleasure to welcome back Moshe Lander onto the program. Senior Lecturer of Economics at Concordia University. Moshe, welcome back.
Sorry, I'm just buying something on Amazon here. Hang on one second.
You got to get the code off the back of the card, right? You got to punch that
That's
in?
That's right.
So Moshe, the reason why I wanted to have you on about this is because you don't shy away from opinions here, okay? And neither do I, should I point out. So actually, I just did. I just opened up my wallet and I've taken out the three cards that I still keep in my wallet. I have more credit cards, but I keep those just on my phone because so many of them are Apple Pay, whatever. You can just put them on your phone so you don't have to carry all your cards everywhere. So I have tons of credit cards. They all offer different types of rewards, cash back wise and the like. I use each for every single situation to maximize the amount of money that I get back. And I pay off my balance every month. I don't miss a payment. That's how I use credit cards. Hilariously, the credit card industry calls me a deadbeat. That's what we're referred to. The people that pay off their bills every month, they're called deadbeats because they don't really provide that much revenue compared to those that are paying the interest rates. Now, Moshe, the question I have for you is, what role should governments have to play in reining in credit cards, interest rates, and protecting consumers from themselves?
So you want my opinion, and here it is bluntly. The government should play no role in that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the government should protect you from yourself if that doesn't bring about any sort of externality, right? If somehow credit card spending is somehow affecting my life, then okay, maybe the government needs to do something, not to protect you from yourself, but to protect you from me, because you're not thinking about that when you're spending. But that's not the case here. You might be harming your family, say, if you're spending excessively and you can't pay those bills. But again, that's within a family unit, and the government doesn't really have that responsibility once it kind of crosses the front porch, right? So I don't have a problem necessarily with the legislation itself, but I think it's misguided in that if you think it's protecting people from themselves, it's not doing that.
So, you know, it's interesting, Moshe, and I wouldn't go as far as you, because sometimes I see the interest rates that people, you know, once you have that balance and you can't pay it off, and you're at a 20 to 30% interest rate. You know, that to me, I see that and I go, oh, geez, man, maybe there is a reason for government to step in here. At the same time, I know fully well that it's those people that don't pay off their bills on time. It's those people that just keep a balance going forever and they're paying that 20% plus interest rate that allows me to make my rewards, right? So I'm like, to myself, I'm like, well, geez, why should I use my credit cards responsibly. So why should I, if the government imposes restrictions to protect others, credit card companies are going to have to reduce my benefits, right, to pay for that. So, you know, I'm sort of more of a halfway point, because I think sometimes the government does need to protect people from themselves.
Yeah, I don't know that if you are offered a credit card, that doesn't mean that you have to say yes, right? I go through a mall every day. I go through stores every day, and there's all kinds of goods on those shelves that are available to me. But just because it's available doesn't mean that I buy everything that's on those shelves, right? So I do have the capacity to show some level of self-restraint that, you know, today I'm going to pass by the potato chips aisle and I'm not going to gorge myself on Doritos. So just because there's an offer in front of you doesn't mean that you have to take it. Now, when you get a credit card, I think that the bigger problem is not that people need to be protected from themselves. It's that I don't think people understand what the credit card actually is. I know when I talk to my own students that are just getting experience with credit, they think that their credit card is the same thing as their debit card. It's just, you know, one offers cash back and the other one doesn't. And when I explain to them, no, you are taking out a loan just like a mortgage, just like a line of credit, just like you have to pay that back your debit card is your money, they seem shocked. And so I think that maybe where the government's responsibility is not to protect consumers from themselves, but to educate consumers about what they actually are using and what it means.
So the move here by the government, and by the way, this is part of legislation that was passed a long time, and it's sort of a gradual approach. Every little while, there's incremental changes in order to ease people into this. This has to do with the minimum monthly payments, right? So instead of paying off the whole balance, there's a change to the minimum payment. Why don't you tell our listeners what has changed and the effects of that?
So the government introduced legislation back, I think it was in 2019. They said that any new credit card issued after that, you have to pay a minimum of 5% of your balance. I think it's actually the greater of $10 and 5% of your balance, but we'll just say 5% for simplicity here. Anybody who had a credit card prior to 2019, though, wasn't subjected to that legislation. So the government realized that there was a little bit of a disconnect here. So they introduced this idea that anybody with a pre-2019 credit card would start off with a minimum repayment of 3, and it would escalate over years so that they eventually coincided with the 5% number. So what you're going to have within the, I think by 2025, is that everybody with a credit card in Quebec is going to have to pay at least 5% of their balance in any given month. What happened a couple of days ago was that that first escalator kicked in, going from 3% to 3.5% for those of us with credit cards going back a few years.
And Moshe, you know, to me, it seems reasonable, rational. It seems like a moderate kind of, you know, consumer protection-esque way of just a little thing to make sure credit card users don't fall underwater too quickly. But you think it's a little bit too far? Like, not like this is a measure we should avoid?
Well, I don't. I like I said, I don't have a problem with the legislation. I just don't know that it's really going to protect consumers from themselves. Let's create a hypothetical example. Let's say that you have $10,000 owing on your credit card. So what the government legislation was saying prior to Monday was that anybody with an old enough credit card, you have to pay at least $300 a month on that credit card balance. Now, if you were able to run up $10,000, I should hope that you should be able to come up with $300 to at least just satisfy the government legislation. Mm-hmm. As of Monday, you now have to pay $350. Mm-hmm. So is the extra $50 really going to save a consumer from themselves? Is it really going to have any sort of impact? Is this really going to stop you the next time you feel inclined to buy something off of a website where your credit card is already saved into that website that all you have to do is click and pay? I don't really think that this is going to do anything. So that's why I'm saying I don't have a problem with the legislation, but the idea that somehow the government has a responsibility to save consumers from themselves, one, this isn't going to do it, and two, why do you need saving then? If you're capable of running up $10,000 and you can't pay it, there are provisions for how you deal with that, right? You can file for bankruptcy, or you can sell off your assets, or you can come up with some arrangement with the credit card companies themselves within their collections agency as to how you're going to pay that back. So it seems that the government is nannying us a bit here, but I don't know that they're nannying effectively, right? Uh-huh.
Moshe, you mentioned your students at Concordia University earlier on in the interview. What's one other item for not just your students that you tell them, but for our listeners, when it comes to credit card usage that maybe they're forgetting or they don't understand or they need to pick up on?
So, like you said, when you pay your bill, right, from the credit card company standpoint, they view you as a deadbeat, right? And so when you're offered higher credit, right, that, hey, you qualify for an extra $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, one, take it, right? Because just because you have it doesn't mean that you have to use it. But when you take it, make sure that if you're ever going to use your credit card, it is a loan. So you better have a plan for how you're going to pay it back. When you take out a mortgage, at least the bank sits down with you and says, this is how we're going to structure it so that you pay back the mortgage. But in this particular case, there isn't a structure there. So you have to have the self-discipline. If you lack the self-discipline, then find somebody who can help you impose that discipline, whether it's, say, a spouse, whether it's a loved one, whether it's even something as simple as your employer, just take an extra $50 off of my paycheck. Just so that I can't touch it, right? There's lots of ways that you can impose discipline on yourself. So take the extra credit when it's available, but it doesn't mean that you have to spend it. And if you're going to spend it, make sure that you know how you're going to pay it back. And you'd never avoid this situation, or you'd never encounter this situation.
Moshe Lander, Senior Lecturer of Economics at Concordia University. What's in your wallet, Moshe? Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Anytime.